Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is aftermath immediately following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 52-7 win over the Bears of Mercer Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Crimson Tide improves to 8-2 on the season overall and still has a lot out in front of it. Big game coming up next Saturday night in Norman, Oklahoma against a resting Oklahoma Sooner team. The Sooners on a bye week. And then, of course, the Auburn Tigers the following Saturday in Tuscaloosa. Auburn with a win over Louisiana Monroe to keep bowl eligibility hopes alive. And we would certainly love to hear from you here on the program. We got Ben checking in. Bob, our pal, is chiming in here in the show chat. So if you would like to get on record following the Crimson Tide's win over Mercer, we would love to do that with you. Now, a first half that saw Alabama score in a multitude of ways, thought it was interesting, thought it was important to get some of these other guys involved on offense. It was a big, big night, as we know. A week ago in Baton Rouge for Jalen Milroe, a dominant performance from the quarterback position. But this week, kind of an appreciation Saturday for some guys that maybe haven't had their numbers called all that much, not just in the last few games, but really throughout the entirety of the season. And so with that, Robbie Oots gets on the touchdown board with a 44-yard score there in the first half. C.J. Dupree gets a target early in the game. Ryan Williams with a couple of first-half touchdowns. Good perimeter blocking once again, whether it was Oots, whether it was C.J. Dupree. Jeremy Bernard on the one Williams touchdown had the twofer where he got two Mercer players for the price of one. So good to see a multitude of guys get involved, and then you take care of business in a way in which, with a couple minutes to go or just under 2 minutes to go, you've got walk-ons out there on the offensive side. We saw all four scholarship quarterbacks in the game. I thought all four did good things. Jalen took care of the ball for the most part. He had the one fumble that was overturned to a non-fumble, and watching that in real time, I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought it was going to be one of those, the call stands, not necessarily confirmed, but it was turned back into a non-fumble. That was certainly beneficial to both Jalen and Alabama there in the first quarter. Boy, this crew was something else too, wasn't it? I mean, I don't like to be that guy necessarily who goes in on officiating crews, but wow, that was a rough one. You know, it's a SEC-FCS matchup. You think this thing's probably going to get over in 2 hours and 45 minutes, but this crew, I don't know, maybe they were getting paid by the hour to hang around. Maybe they were on an hourly rate or a flag rate or a review rate, maybe all of the above, but it was tough on the eyes, due in large part because of the officiating crew, not because of the players, not because of the teams, but Alabama push through all of that against a really solid FCS team that is going to win its conference, the SoCon, and going to play in the FCS playoffs. But again, defensively, an opportunistic theme continues for this Alabama defense. You certainly love to see that if you're an Alabama fan. Just the first half alone, what you were able to get from Damani Jackson forcing a fumble that Damon Payne. Big Damon wanted to rumble with that thing, didn't he? Picked it up. He had glory in his eyes for all of about a step and a half before he was tackled. But Damani Jackson continues to show up and make some important plays. Maybe not always so much in the stat sheet like last week at LSU when he made a tackle down at the five that ultimately led to LSU kicking a field goal, but forcing a turnover today. Then you get Deshaun Jones forcing a fumble that Xavien Brown turns into the first defensive score of the season for this Alabama team. And that's saying something because there was a time not that long ago where it felt like those came each and every week. So good to see that from the Alabama secondary on Saturday. And Quay Rousseau with a hell of a catch of an interception after Alabama gets some pressure there and create some different looks. And look, Alabama offensively, defensively wasn't going to put a whole lot out there this week. It was going to be about as basic as it could be. I think that was the case for the most part. Penalties weren't really that much of an issue. I thought Alabama defensively got hit with a couple. I talked about this on the Spaces show that we did at halftime on X, Twitter. Really, both of those calls weren't much, but it kind of set the stage for the rest of the day of what we were going to get from this crew. And that's before all the review situations were taken into account. But continued high level play from Jahad Campbell, those linebackers, Justin Jefferson, Deontay Lawson. I like with Campbell, it seems like there's just been this uptick in physicality too. I mean, the things we already knew about Jahad, those aren't going to change, right? He can play sideline to sideline. He can play in coverage. He can give you a rush in passing situations. But to see him sort of take this next step as far as stoning ball carriers is concerned, he had one in the game today. Deontay had a missed tackle, but Jahad not only capable of filling the void and making initial contact with the ball carrier short of the sticks, able to stop it right there, not give up that extra yards after contact. So in the secondary, we talked about Damani. We talked about Xavien Brown. We saw a lot of Jalen Mbakwe, even in the first half when that rotation started to crank back up. Bray Hubbard, once again, very solid at the safety position to go with Malachi. Devontae Smith, Deshaun Jones at that Husky position. So look, the touchdown for Mercer, you're going to give that up. If a guy's going to put the ball where that ball was placed and you're going to have a wide receiver make a one-handed catch like Kalen Harris did on that ball for Mercer, you kind of just tip your cap, because Deshaun Jones wasn't in bad shape in terms of coverage. Hell of a throw, hell of a catch. And halftime, you're looking at Mercer statistically and, you know, approaching 200 yards of total offense. But boy, in the second half, it just wasn't happening for Mercer on the offensive side of the ball. 26 total yards for the Mercer offense in the third and fourth quarters. And time of possession really was in favor of Mercer. Again, three takeaways and a half will negate time of possession. It kind of underscores like what we've talked about in some previous weeks, how time of possession is oftentimes a stat for losers. Where you really see the winners emerge is turnover margin, third down efficiency, both offensively, defensively. Can you stay on the field? Are you getting off the field? Red zone conversions for touchdowns. And, you know, something Alabama seems to be doing at a higher and higher clip. Did this last week at LSU. When it's taking the football away here of late, not getting field goals, not getting empty possessions on the heels of those, getting into the end zone. And that happened again on Saturday as well. Maybe the best news to come out of all this Saturday was the fact that the Crimson Tide, according to Kalen DeBoer in his postgame comments, no new injuries. Now, Q Robinson was a big loss last week at LSU. Jaden Roberts did not play today at the offensive guard position. So you saw Geno Vandermark in there to start at right guard. You saw Geno stay in there with the twos at center. So we'll see about Jaden moving forward. My money would be on Jaden being there for this defining two-game stretch coming up the next two Saturdays in Norman, and then once again for the Iron Bowl. Let's check in with some comments here. Lisa watching the program, she says, good evening, and a Roll Tide roll. Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate you tuning in. Same for One Alabama Mafia right here. Bob Rutherford, our pal, checking in here in the show chat. Says, I think Hollywood Williams being so good as a freshman has me expecting it from all freshmen. I get it on that too, Bob, because he's made it look very, very easy. You know, a couple more touchdowns in the game on Saturday. And, you know, not all freshmen obviously are the same, and not all freshmen are trying to break in at the same position. And not to undervalue or, take away from anything Ryan Williams has done, because for me, there hasn't been a better true freshman in all of college football. And I know there's a good one at Ohio State too, but we've known this for years now. It's more likely that a true freshman is going to jump in at wide receiver and have that type of impact than say quarterback or left tackle or the secondary. You know, Ryan's good friend, Jalen Mbakwe, he's going through some stuff as a true freshman corner. And I'm not surprised. I didn't have expectations of Jalen Mbakwe being an all-SEC type corner right out the gate. That's why you go to the transfer portal for guys like Damani Jackson, who have that experience, who have been through it to an extent, and are more ready to go, because it is an absolute beast of a position to play, especially in today's football. And I can go back 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago this year, I think, Marlon Humphrey redshirted as a true freshman corner. Now, you know, those Alabama teams were pretty stocked at the defensive back positions. You didn't have the movement you have now. So I'm sure Alabama at the time was afforded more of that type of luxury. You don't have it as much, you know, with Trey Amos moving on to Ole Miss, with Caleb Downs moving on to Ohio State, the movement you had even beyond those guys. So there was more of a void too in the secondary going into this season, even with the additions of Deshaun Jones and Damani Jackson and some others, that you were going to have some more opportunities. At wide receiver, you know, probably wasn't going to be as much of the case, with Jeremy Bernard coming in from Washington to go along with Ryan Williams and, you know, some of the other guys. You know, Kobe Prentice is a guy that's been around 2 or 3 years now. We don't really see him that much until late in the game today. So there are guys at wide receiver. You're good there now with Kendrick Law. Caleb Odom today, we saw early in the game. Thought Caleb was going to have an opportunity for a touchdown there in the first quarter. Kind of like last week, the post just didn't quite hook up between Jalen and his intended receiver. But the point remains, if you got quality numbers at wide receiver, and it's a position where it's more likely that a newcomer is going to impact things, I like Jalen Mbakwe playing corner this year. Find out about him, right? You're okay at wide receiver, where it's tougher to sort of develop and keep premium players is more so at corner. So play him there. You can always move him to offense at some point down the road if that's what you want to do. There's enough of a sample size, even in high school. You saw him today on a punt return. Looked great back there and filling in for Ryan Williams. And that was another thing we kind of were looking forward to in the last couple of weeks after the Cole Adams injury. But yeah, I mean, it's tough a lot of times to go from offense to defense. We have seen it at Alabama in the past. Trayvon Diggs did it. I think Cyrus Jones did it after initially playing on the offensive side of the ball. But Mbakwe is a guy you can always go the other way with if that's what you ultimately choose to do. But let's see what he's got. Let's see what he can do at corner. And he has taken some lumps. Not surprised by that. You know, tough era, tough league, tough game to play. Defense in general has never been harder to play. Here we go. Paul Witt chiming in here says, the man always stays for four quarters. Yeah, there was a Vegas interest in how that game wrapped up on Saturday. So I think there were some people that maybe were even more impressed with that scramble and that chuck of a throw from Ty Simpson to Josh Cuevas than maybe some others were. I guess that's what Paul Witt is referring to here. Unknown Damone chiming in here says, unleash the Mac attack. I guess he's talking about Austin Mack in that touchdown, the fourth string quarterback. I thought, again, all three quarterbacks looked great. I think we already knew that this was a very good quarterback room, but I thought Dylan Lonergan as the three today showed you, again, reaffirmed for me anyway, that he's really a great fit for this system, for what they want to do on offense. Now, don't know how that's all going to play out big picture wise. But Lonergan showed you some good things. What I liked about really all of the quarterbacks was that it looks like they're developing in a way that when you put them in a football game, even against a team like Mercer, they're ready to go. And they're capable right now, four deep. And Mac did have a nice throw. How about the catch, though, by Rico Scott? Rico Scott, we haven't seen a lot of this season, but he seems to possess some dog qualities coming in from Western Pennsylvania. Rico Scott is a true freshman. Saw Bubba Hampton make a catch today. Ty did some nice things again, improving. I guess the offensive line depth, I guess you could point to. You know, you're always looking to develop another tackle too. So if we're talking big picture and offensive line play, knowing you have Proctor for one more year, I think you're okay with Formby, Pritchett, but you're always wanting that next tackle to sort of begin to emerge, that fourth or fifth guy that you can kind of envision down the road. And that's something I think Alabama is going to continue to work on, obviously, moving forward. So special teams, boy, Burnup, James Burnup, it wasn't necessarily a highlight reel for the Alabama punter today. I guess if we wanted to pick at something, that could be it. And you see a lot of the depth on the special teams. You know, some of those young linebackers, I'll tell you a guy that as the guy started to filter in there and you got deeper and deeper on the defensive side of the ball, I thought Jayshon Ross, the true freshman, Wolf, in a very limited, sort of abbreviated appearance, showed you some good pass rush, showed you some really good motor. Justin Okoronkwo, the freshman linebacker, continues to show some nice things when he's in there. I think Caden Jones, the freshman linebacker from North Carolina, who had been out. He had had an injury, I think, midseason, and we hadn't seen him really on special teams in those type of situations. He's in there, number 30. I like him. I like his upside. So a lot to like about the depth. Zay Mincy looks like he's getting more and more comfortable there. At the safety position, as we see him in there, rotating in there, we saw some Cameron Howard, the Charlotte transfer, in there at safety today as well. So it was definitely a family and friends afternoon at Bryant-Denny Stadium because everybody pretty much got to play, which is great for those kids and those young guys and certainly for their families and the folks that support them on a day in and day out basis. So Paul Witt chiming back in here. Yeah, I want to talk about this too. Richard Young has some pop. Paul Witt says, notes that Richard Young always falls forward. Yeah, I'd say Richard Young's different. You know, you like Justice Haynes, you like Jam Miller, similar type of guys. I think Jam is the more likely of those two to get you those yards after contact. But Richard Young definitely has that potential. He kind of reminds me, he's not the same body type or anything like that. His development kind of reminds me a little bit of Eddie Lacy, you know, comes in Eddie Lacy does in 2009 with Trent Richardson. So it wasn't going to happen immediately just because the guy in his class was the guy in that cycle at the running back position. And then you go with, and you got Mark Ingram, obviously, in a Heisman Trophy winning season. So those were going to be your two backs. But you started, you know, 2010, 2011, and then by 2012, Eddie was the real deal. And Richard Young's path could be similar to that. Although I think Richard Young, if you really needed to give him more right now, I think he could more than handle that. And I think you could be successful with Richard Young, because he absolutely, I love him already in short yardage, like Paul's noting here. Goal line, you saw it too on Saturday. And again, understanding the competition, but Richard Young has that size and he has that willingness and a guy that I think can really get it done in the not too distant future. I don't think we're talking about another 2 years from now for Richard Young. And I know you're trying to maintain and sustain your roster with some of this stuff that you do. But it could get to a point where Richard Young is just too good. You can still run your other two backs, but you may need to figure out a way to carve him in to that allotment in an offense where you're already not getting your backs a ton of carries because your quarterback is getting carries. And you know, look, it absolutely makes sense right now with Jalen. This team, this offense however far it's going to go this season is going to be largely contingent upon run game success of Jalen Milroe in there. You want to see him throw it better and better as the season goes along. That's why I was encouraged today. Some of the check down stuff, some of the tight end stuff, quick game still seems to be the one thing that he's not as sort of at ease with, or it's not as easy for him. But everything else was pretty good once again on Saturday. So Oklahoma coming up next Saturday night in Norman. We'll talk more, obviously, about Oklahoma throughout the week. I'm not sleeping on the Sooners. I wouldn't advise you to either. I know the record isn't good. I know the offense has been abhorrent. But the one thing the next two opponents can do is make it difficult for you offensively. The good news for Alabama is that even if that's the case, the way that this Alabama defense has stepped forward here in the last couple of three games, you may not need to score 20 plus to beat Oklahoma or Auburn. I know Auburn had a big performance offensively finally today against ULM, but I think this defense is starting to play at that consistent level, and we saw it again on Saturday. Guys getting to the ball, not just about the opponent. We heard this from Jihad Campbell, after the game Saturday, that you just don't want to fall into the trap of playing to the standard of the opponent. Those are all things you want to hear intangibly if you're an Alabama fan. Just like the Austin Mack touchdown pass late in the game to Rico Scott. As impressive as the play was, I thought even more encouraging was the reaction from everybody on the Alabama sideline. Because mid to late November, even for a good team, can be a point where your sideline, your locker room starts to get stale. And one of the things that I feel better and better about with Kalen DeBoer, you may quibble with some aspects of how he does this, but in terms of the importance of the team dynamic on a day in and day out basis, I have little to no doubt that Kalen DeBoer gets that. That's why today was important. That's why taking care of business and remaining injury free in terms of new injuries was so important, because in doing so, you were able to get to Ty Simpson. You were able to get to Dylan Lonergan. You were able to get to Austin Mack. You were able to go 3-4 deep really across your football team. And that does wonders. That does a lot of good. I know it's winning first and foremost and making sure you're improving with the players that you're going to have in your game plan on a weekly basis. But if you want to get good looks, you want to get the best looks from your scout team, you want to, you know, have a locker room and a sort of bond and cohesiveness that is of championship caliber, being able to do what Alabama was able to do today helps Alabama this next week getting ready for Oklahoma and then for Auburn as well. Hey, anything else before we get out of here? Kind of abbreviated, but that's probably a good thing, because if we were going long tonight, it would probably mean somebody that didn't need to get hurt or something unforeseen happened, and there would be commiseration going on right now in the show chat. Show chat's been pretty quiet this evening, which typically means folks are pretty content with that day's performance. We're going to have continued coverage for you, too, right here on Ryer on YouTube. Hope you checked out the show I did with Coach Schmitty right here on the channel Thursday night. That's going to become a weekly thing here on the channel. So if you enjoyed that, hey, we're going to have more of it. If you didn't see it, well, the show's archived. You can still check out last Thursday's show. And then we'll have Jeff back on coming up this week. But we're always going to have Chase Goodbread, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News. We'll talk with Chase here in the next couple of days here on the channel. Second helping with my pal Brent Beard. We're going to do that a couple times a week. We'll have a little bit of NFL talk with Ev. just a lot of stuff right here on the channel. So if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, what are you waiting for? It's free. Just hit that subscription button right there. And then the notification bell that you see, hit that as well. That way you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you would hit us with a like, a thumbs up. I always get this backwards. Yeah. If you would hit us with the thumbs up, that would help us out, and we would greatly appreciate it as well. As always, again, thank you for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. Have a great rest of your weekend. Until next time, so long, everybody.